And one more back here. I remember this time. I've forgotten like the last couple times to print these cheat sheet guides out. I apologize for that. I got to the end of the last lesson, and then we get to the beginning in Galatians and get to this lesson here now in Colossians when Pastor started up in lesson one, and he passed one out, and I'm like, oh no. All right, so now we're in the book of Colossians, and it's pretty cool to be able to continue to dig into some of these letters from the Apostle Paul, and having gone through the book of Galatians and now going through the book of Colossians, and Brother Dennis teaching out of Philippians for the adults class on Sunday morning, it's getting a lot of Bible study, a lot more than many churches in this area or even around the country do. Praise God for that we esteem God's word highly enough to do that. So let's go ahead. We're moving on now. We're now in lesson number two, which is the goal of Christian living. And we'll be focusing on, I believe, verses 9 through 13, I think it is. So if you have a Scofield Bible, you're going to get a little messed up because he puts the divider after verse 14. So that's always kind of tricky, at least for me. So let's go ahead. We're gonna start in with an introduction today, and we'll look at just continually going through these in future Wednesday nights, Lord willing. All right, verse 9, Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Verse 10. That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again. Give you all the glory for the words you've provided for us, for the salvation you've provided for us, that we can freely receive at great cost to you, even the life of your Son. And we thank you for this word that's preserved, and that we can now study through the book of Colossians and see what you have for us there. Lord Paul, you used the Apostle Paul to write that letter to the Colossians, to them. And out of that letter, we can get things from it for us today. Lord, we just pray that you would help us to continue to learn and grow in Christ. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. So again, as I promised, introduction. So if you've gone through the lesson and in your lesson book, the great spiritual sage of Oprah Winfrey is mentioned. I heard, was that a sarcastic amen in the back there? I hope not. I was being serious. Can I pull my tongue out of my cheek? And if you've gone through it, it was kind of interesting. The teacher's manual gave a website or a blog post, and we'll go through that a little bit and see what this person had to say about it. But Oprah, sometime pre-2007, would have been somewhere in that beginning of 2007 or earlier, at least that's when the blog post is titled or is dated to, is talking about this new movie. It's called The Secret. And this is an excerpt right out of your book here on page 19. The Secret is out. And talk show host Oprah Winfrey wants people to learn it better and live their lives by it. Of course, she's the spiritual sage and of all wisdom and all. When I mean all, I mean all without exception. The Secret is an attempt by philosophers to help people understand life and solve their problems. The philosophy asserts that people can control their lives simply by controlling their thoughts. When their thoughts are positive, they will attract positive energy to themselves. The positive energy will then solve their problems and give them good lives. Okay, I'm continuing on. continuing on, I'm trying to keep my eyes from not rolling around. Those who teach the secret believe the Bible supports it. We're going to see some of that, of what they think the Bible says here coming up shortly. In fact, they even claim that Jesus taught the secret while he was on earth. To them, the secret is a modernization of the scriptures that is superior to the scriptures. And what we're seeing here is some parallels to some of the things that were going on even in the Apostle Paul's day and in the early first and second centuries of the church. And in later lessons, whether it's in this lesson or somewhere down the line, we'll be touching on some of that stuff at some point, going through some of the history and seeing how even today those thoughts and that philosophy rears its head in the modern church, in our modern society today. And we're seeing one example of that through this movie called The Secret. So question number one, we'll start out in your book. How would you react if someone told you that they have secret knowledge that is superior to the Bible? I see a lot of smirks out there and some pinched faces and pinched, pursed lips. Yes, Lynn?
I would simply state that there is nothing superior to God's Word.
Nothing superior?
It is superior.
It is superior. There's nothing. How can you have something superior to the ultimate revelation of God there? You can't. For me, I'd be personally highly skeptical. I would start by asking a lot of questions. Well, how do you know that? And just start going down through the tree of, well, eventually you don't know that for certain. That's just your belief and something you're trusting in. So we're going to go and look at this particular person who wrote this blog post about this movie called The Secret. So The Secret is out, and we're going to tell you what The Secret is here. So this comes from a website. If you'd like it later to go read through all the details, it's worthy of eye rolling. If you need some eye rolling exercises, it's a good place to go visit. This blog post is by a man named Kevin Kinchin, titled "The Secret." Okay, well, this is like the non. It's got to be the most bland title for something that's supposed to be hidden. The Secret. Oh, really? Okay. The question I have is, can you keep a secret? All right. So just to try to outline and highlight of what he's saying, we'll pull a couple of excerpts out here so you can at least get a little bit of exercise. He starts out by talking about children learning and inventing playing games. So he's trying to paint a mental picture in your head of children running around inventing new games. Sometimes they're playing the games that we've all played in the past. So there's hopscotch and all these other different things. Different playground games that I can remember as a kid, I've seen my kids pick up from other kids in the neighborhood. It just, you know, you leave from elementary school, you go from elementary school into junior high school, and you think, oh, we just left all that stuff behind. Well, it stays because all that knowledge stays there and is taught to the next generation all the way down, and they're playing the same games. Everybody's playing tag. Everybody's playing freeze tag or stoplight. All these different things. They're all doing these same things. So he's trying to paint this picture of children are learning, inventing, playing games. And he's considering this as a metaphor for the game of life, is what he's doing. He states the purpose of these games is the unconscious intention of unlocking the secrets of life. That's what these children are doing out there. They're unconsciously unlocking the secrets of life. And I think they're just running around having a good time. Honestly, that's... I've seen it, got five kids, they're running around having a good time. So the quote is out of here, well, quoting Mr. Kinchin, well, we are all very fortunate as that which we have always been seeking has been found. The secret for which we have been searching, so we've been running around the playground looking for the secret of life. That secret has been found, and at last the search has been revealed to us in a movie. That is quite aptly named, and I would say blandly named, The Secret. Notice the mysteriousness of this quote. and the overt name of the movie, The Secret. It's kind of, yeah, it's a secret. We have a secret. We want to tell you about this secret. And it's a mystery. And what we're seeing here is just focus on that mystery aspect of it. There's this thing out there. You got to know what it is. And I wish I knew there's some persuasive techniques that are being involved in doing this. I have to go back and shame on me for not looking that up, but there are different techniques that can cause people, persuasive techniques of how you can convince somebody to go do something like buy timeshare or you commercials. I have to go get this thing out there. You drive a V8 powered car, you have to go get a V8 powered car. That's how it is. Just don't say, I want a V8. You'll end up with a can of V8. You have to be very specific. To continue on here, the Secret is a movie created by a woman named Rhonda Byrne, who was given The Secret by one of her children from the playground, I'm not sure. One of her children in a time of profound despair. After learning this secret, she realized that she wanted to share this secret with the whole world. She was inspired to make a film about this great secret of life. So now we're learning a little bit more. There's a secret, her children told her something. She wants to share this secret. It's the secret of life. Okay, now are you intrigued? What is the secret of life? So along with the help of several cutting-edge thinkers and feelers in the domains of the sciences, okay, what kind of sciences are these, and the arts, okay, now we're talking, she set to work on this most grand mission. So notice she was given some special knowledge, this secret knowledge or hidden knowledge that was previously unknown to people. So what are cutting-edge thinkers and feelers? That sounds to me, when I read through that, this person's description of this is a bit New Agey. And we've seen some documentaries on New Age things here in this church some time ago now. But okay, so to continue, the secret of life, quoting this gentleman here again, the secret of life is that, I'm not sure, I'm not the biggest grammar expert. The secret of life is, so I'm just quoting verbatim, the secret of life is that us human beings were truly made in the image and likeness of God. Okay. Now, I'm going to pause there. We've in previous lessons in the book of Galatians, we've talked about suppositions and presuppositions. So suppositions, things that you hold are supposed to be true. The prefix pre, before. So things that you previously suppose. So when you and I hear a word like this, we were truly made in the image and likeness of God. A light goes off in our head. Oh yeah, Bible. Yeah, of course. This is what the Bible teaches us, that we're made in the image and likeness of God. But we have to continue. This guy just came off with some cutting-edge thinkers and feelers, which sounds a little bit New Agey, and now he's coming out with something that we could presuppose to be Christian, but don't be deceived by it. So to continue on, in the image and likeness of God, and therefore are endowed with the awesome creativity of the Creator. Okay, well, now we have the word Creator, or the Creator. Both words are capitalized, so we're talking about a person or a personage here. But there's something that raises a little flag to me. With the awesome creativity, we've been endowed with the awesome creativity of the Creator. I don't know. Red flags are going up for me right now. End of sentence. In other words, we create our own reality. Wow, somebody just jumped to a conclusion that is unfounded in anything there. Okay, so following this logic tree, if you want to call it that, we were truly made in the image and likeness of God, and therefore are endowed with the awesome creativity of the Creator. In other words, we create our own reality. That's some pretty big leaps that's I don't know where you get that from. So the problem up until the release of this movie, so we've had a problem because this person states this as being true. The problem up until the release of this movie, which truly reflects the stage of evolution we as a species are at, has been that we haven't known exactly how that we create our own reality. Well, yeah, I still don't know how I create my own reality. Reality is here whether I do anything about it or not. That is, we haven't known the rules for the game of life. Now we're trying to tie it back into the secret, the game of life, all these children running around on the playground, tripping on something and figuring out Eureka. I found it. The secret of life is playing games on a playground, apparently. Now, thanks to the pioneering work of this film, we now know what the secret is, or how to create our own reality. So, continuing, so my comments now, the blogger is trying to put a religious spin on the movie. So he's using religious terms, the creator, truly made in the phrases, truly made in the image and likeness of God. Okay, and again, Bible-believing Christians will take that phrase, image and likeness of God, and have one concept of what that means, according to what the Bible says. If you say that same phrase to a Mormon, they will think of something completely different. And again, we're trying to understand what this person is getting to. So he's using words that have loaded meanings for each of us. When you say God, each of us, believer in Christ, born again, has an understanding who God is through his revealed word. But when somebody else says God, what is their concept of God? Are they speaking the same language? So he's using all these different words, God, the creator, evolution, okay. There's a little bit of, I guess we would, which one of the, as was it Kent Hovind said, six definitions of evolution are you trying to get at? Is it changing from one kind to another? We haven't observed any of those things. That's another rabbit trail tangent that we don't really have time to go down right now. But so he's promising, again, more promises of revealing this hidden knowledge. So it's hidden. It's out there. We don't know what it is. You don't know what it is, but we have this secret. We want to share it with you. We have something that you don't, and you need to have this sort of thing. So he's using this type of persuasive technique that we can see here. So now the blogger goes fully off the deep end, if he wasn't already there. So again, back to quoting him. So whatever it is that we declare to the universe emotionally is what the universe gives us. Okay, we've just now jumped into this universe. And we've already used words like God, the creator, and now the blogger creates a deified being called the universe. Have you ever heard anybody talk about that? Well, I speak to the universe. I've heard this before, people talking about this. It's very strange and very odd. So continuing, if through our state of emotion we declare ourselves well, the universe will agree with us and manifest all aspects of wellness into our lives, including material things, loving relationships, perfect health, and meaningful vocation. But on the other hand, if we declare ourselves as not well to the universe will reflect us back, to us, as we are truly declaring ourselves, and will then manifest into our lives all that is not well, including poverty, disease, loneliness, etc. This is the secret. Oh boy. So this new being, this new universe being, that's Mr. Universe, we call him Mr. Universe. Mr. Universe, we'll call him Mr. Universe. This new being, Mr. Universe, is one that thoughts and prayers should be directed to. This is what this person is essentially saying here. He's saying, you know, you tell the universe, Mr. Universe, what you want. Mr. Universe flexes his muscles and hands you what you want. So the secret is just the power of positive thinking. This is all it is. We've heard all this stuff. It's recycled. It's not a secret. This is out here already. It's a power of positive thinking or prosperity gospel. You've heard prosperity preachers on TV, Mr. Crayflo Dollar, who wants a new airplane, or some other guys want some, I don't know, some Gulfstream, whatever. Tens of millions of dollars, but he needs this. People need to give him all that sort of stuff. So a prosperity gospel mixed with mysticism, this hidden secret aspect of it, New Age mumbo jumbo, all this kind of stuff coming out there. This is what this secret is. And Oprah Winfrey needs you to know this. So these types of statements continue on for a few more paragraphs before concluding with the following. And now, truly, quoting the gentleman again, truly we live in an infinite universe that is expanding, and thus there can be no such thing as limitation. Wow, we've gone full. There's a movie I'd like to create or a quote right now, but it's not appropriate to say the words here, but we've gone fully off the deep end, so I'll phrase that. Thus, we are unlimited beings and can never be limited by another. There's just tremendous leaps that are being made here. In other words, we are free and always have been. No. There's something we've always been, but it is not free. And it is sinners. We've always been a sinner. It has only been an illusion that we have been in bondage. No, this is not right. We are the unbound, unlimited children of the Creator, and as such can be, do, and have anything. This is, words fail me for this, but just such nonsense. This is the teaching that was given us in the extraordinary movie. If you ask me, I would say it was the greatest movie ever. Well, I personally think Iron Eagle from 1985, I believe 1985, with Louis Gossett Jr. is the best movie ever.
It was The Sound of Music.
Sound of Music?
Yes.
That's a good one. But I like fighter airplanes. That's my deal. All right. The greatest movie ever, The Secret.
Do they have anyone that we can see the result of their living that way?
I'm not certain of that. There are a few comments at the end of the blog post that are really telling that I want to get to. And yeah, we'll get there. We'll at least hear some feedback from people who have either seen the movie or who have at least read this person's comments. So while the blogger invokes God and the Creator in an attempt to tie Christian concepts into this New Age philosophy, he neglects what has been clearly revealed in the Bible. These things are no secret. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin. These are things that are clearly revealed in the Word of God, that contradict everything that we see in that blog post there. There is no light in that truth. There is no light in that secret. God doesn't make his love a secret to the world. It is out there in the open, boldly proclaimed. It's no secret. So the underlying philosophy and mysticism behind the secret is Gnostic. The English words Gnostic and Gnosticism come from the Greek words, help me if I'm pronouncing, you pronounce it, it's the G, right? Gnosis and Gnoskos. Gnostikos. They mean knowledge and having knowledge, respectively. And in this case, Gnostic knowledge is hidden knowledge. So this is what we've seen. This poster and this movie start out by having somebody say, I have this secret, you need to know this secret. Well, at this point, it's hidden knowledge that only this person has. So it's hidden knowledge where one group, we can call them the elect, has special knowledge that a second group, we can call them the hearers, and this will make sense in future lessons when we go down here. These are Gnostic terms of different groups. You have this one group that has special knowledge and understanding of wisdom, and they're the gatekeepers of it. They're the ones that hold on to it. And then you have other people that are outside of that circle. So there's an inner circle and an outer circle. And we'll learn more about these things later. So this leads to, and again, this inner group and outer group leads to a dyadic, or dyadic or dualistic hierarchy where one group is superior to another. You have this one group that has the secret, the knowledge, and another group that's on the outside looking in. So you have this bipolar hierarchy, those in the know and those who with no. So some things that I thought seem to have some Gnostic tendencies in them are this thing of Christian Science. Mormonism, already mentioned. Freemasonry, if you know anything about Freemasonry. And then the first through fourth century Gnosticism. So we'll look through at a later time some history of some of the people who are considered to be Gnostic in their beliefs, and a little bit of what they believed and how it's influenced Christianity even to this day. And we'll be picking that apart in a little bit of detail. So, again, as promised, there were a few comments at the end of this blog post about the secret, and all three of them have something interesting to say. So the first one says, by a man named Roy Mold, I have just ordered the DVD and can't wait to see it, particularly after what I have just read above. I will return to the site after seeing it and give a more in-depth opinion. And I don't know. There's only three comments. He didn't post again. So he hasn't returned. I guess he has nothing else to say. Second comment, I have watched it a few times, and it seems each time you pick up something different. Here is an interesting interview with the gentleman featured in the movie Bob Proctor, where he gives more insight to it all. If you like the movie, you will find the report just as interesting. So he refers to a book called The Law of Attraction. And again, relating to these things of, if you just say it enough, it'll come to you. If you speak to Mr. Universe, he'll deliver it to you. And the third one. God truly has revealed himself to us, as you have said, in the Bible. I believe if you go back and read the Genesis account, you will find that Adam was created in the image and likeness of God. Adam then was disobedient and was a fallen creature. We are created in the image of Adam. We have flesh and bone and are incapable of being anything like God. That's why he sent his son Jesus, who knew no sin, to become sin, so that those of us who believe in him could have everlasting life. That is no secret. It is plainly written in God's word. This probably will never make it to the comment page on your website, but it is the truth. A Mr. Eric Russell. It's on the comment.
Yeah, amen.
Praise God for that. Someone speaking up and giving a gospel message there right in the middle of a complete sense of a bunch of nonsense there. So what we really need to get out of this is that God's word is the key to life and joy in this life, not the human mind, as those who teach the secret would have everybody believe. So they're trying to say, it's just you. If you will it enough, it'll come to you. We don't find that anywhere happening. I could will that I could fly, and that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
All right, so question number two in your books. We're kind of winding it down here. Question number two. How would you react if someone told you that they can get along fine without a regular diet of God's word? Lots of funny smirks and smiles. And there's a hand that raised up. Brother Dennis? Try going without food for a while, right? What do they say? Water for 3 days, food for 3 weeks, and air for 3 minutes? That's for, unless you're a seal, yeah. Yeah, those guys are fish anyways. Half fish. All right, anybody else? Sister Lynn?
Things may seem to be going along fine according to worldly standards.
Right. Right. You might things might be going okay when you compare yourself against
yes.
the word or the rest of the world, but how are you in comparison to God? Now, you're kind of stealing some of my thunder here.
Oh, okay.
Which is okay. No, which is okay.
I willed it.
You willed it too? Oh, yeah, you had that. Yeah. Anybody else?
Three words, you are deceived.
You are deceived, yes. Yeah. I have, well, there's a couple hybrid apostrophe words here. I have, what you talking about, Willis? That's different strokes from the 80s. I've seen some of those long time ago. Yeah, what are you talking about? What you talking about? So I forgot my object, to do my object lesson here. So just imagine that I'm holding in my hand a tape measure. In my other hand, I'm holding a ruler. And in my other hand, I'm holding a yardstick. I only have two hands, so somehow that worked out. Three. It's a little strange. I guess I could get somebody up here to stick their other hand and stand behind me and put another hand out here like this. Okay, so an object lesson here is, imagine this tape measure. What can it measure? So you can stretch it out.
Length.
Yeah, linear measurement here. What can you measure? I mean, I can measure the height of this piano. I can measure the distance from that wall to this wall. My tape measure is not big enough. I can't go to the back wall. I'm sorry?
Around. A tape measure, you will measure around.
Yes, if you have a tape measure that you would use for sewing, you could wrap that around. The one I have has got the little metal band in it, so it doesn't bend very well. It kind of think. What about a ruler? What can you measure with a ruler? Some of the kids should be able to answer this. What can you measure with your ruler, Daniel? Phoebe?
A pencil.
A pencil. You can measure a pencil with a ruler. And a yardstick. Daniel? A yard, yes. If you stack them together, you can measure your yard with a yardstick. That's right. You can also measure your little brother. He would fit within a yardstick there. All right, so how does God measure spiritual growth? By the fruit that we have, that we, right? Not necessarily speaking about souls, but the good works that we do. Anything else? Measure how close we are to Christ. So we are to be, again, another famous word, presuppositions, all that kind of stuff. Romans 8:29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. So how close are we measuring up to Christ? How much have we been conformed to Christ? And eventually we'll be complete there. 1 John 3:2, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. We will be completely conformed to the image of Christ at that point. Praise God for that. How do we measure spiritual growth? How do we? So that's how God, he compares us to Christ. How do we measure our own spiritual growth? I think by maybe knowing what our Bible has to say. How close, how much are we in the Word of God? How much are we studying, praying, reading our Bible, all these different things. So how do we know how to measure our spiritual growth if we don't have, again, the rule, the standard to compare it against? How do we know how we're doing? If we didn't have a Bible, we can't know at that point. God has revealed himself to us through his creation, through his word, and through his Son. And by knowing those things, we can know and be able to measure our spiritual growth. So the purpose of this lesson going forward is going to be emphasizing spiritual growth, how we can know what it is, how we can know how to improve that. And again, as a wise man, once I heard a quote from him say, each day, paraphrasing the quote, each day you're either getting better or you're getting worse. You're never staying the same. And what you choose to do will result in one of those two things. You either get it better, you'll be improving, or you'll be getting worse, and falling back. So let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for your word, for your Son, that we can know it, that we can read it, and that we can know it, that we can be able to use it to discern truth from error, Lord. We pray that you would help us in continuing to grow in our spiritual lives. Lord, help us to understand your will and your perfect will for us. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.